fest. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Io's house
in the middle of our street.
Io's house
in the middle of
our... Io's house episode whatever. Ethan, Jack, Rocco, no producer Greeny this week. Islanders fresh off a 5-3 loss to the Philadelphia Flyers at home. A homestand that will quite literally determine their season. Before we get into it, the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Jack at IslesDen. Follow Rocco at PizzaSportsGuy. Follow producer Greeny at EGreenberg99. Follow the pod at Isles House. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast, iTunes, Spotify, wherever. We're there. Subscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. Okay, boys, things are not looking so hot after a nice road trip. Jack, you seem the most angry and passionate out of all of us. I'll let you kick us off.
I don't even know where to start, to be honest. Like, it just feels like everything is such a disaster. So they go on the road, they win 3 straight. They walk into Vegas against the best team in the NHL and absolutely cook them. And, you know, like, I've kept my optimism very cautious for anything this season. And, you know, like, then they win the next
game. For good reason.
Then we're coming home and we play Ottawa. And my friend Ethan offers me some tickets. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's time. Like, let's buy back into this thing, huh? Get to the seats. 1 scoreless period. And then we give up 1 goal. And this goal the Senators scored, by the way, it was a point shot that was deflected. Dobson didn't quite tie up his guy, Gaudette. And a lot of the fan base got on Dobson for that. I actually didn't. Like, I just saw that. Like, that's hockey. That shit's going to happen. It was a ridiculous deflection. Hogberg really had no shot to make that save. And for the rest of the game, like, I felt like the Islanders just literally couldn't generate any opportunities. And it was just the final score, obviously, was 1-0. Nelson had a few shots. Palmieri was non-existent. I just really thought like I watched nothing. Like, it felt like the biggest waste of 60 minutes. Those are my vibes from Tuesday. And I got to let Rocco speak a little bit. So I'm going to pass it off before we get into tonight.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head. It's just, as you said, whether it's Nelson, Dobson, Palmieri, there's just too many passengers and poor performances and disappointments. And it's, you can name a new guy every night. You know what I mean? Some nights Sorokin has been bad. Some nights Dobson has been bad. I mean, just going off tonight's game, how many plays could they simply have just tied up some sticks in front? It's not like that difficult of a play. There were passing lanes all over the place for the Flyers. Off the boards, backdoor play. You know, one guy standing on the boards, he throws the puck across to someone backdoor. That's ridiculous. Where, like, I don't know where their heads are at sometimes. It's like this weird group at this point where they don't, to me, when they were going good at points this year, they look like they play together and they're turning the corner. And then the next game, it's just a completely different team. It's been Jekyll and Hyde all season. And when you don't have an identity, you're just not very good. And that's where we're at. They have no identity in me.
Yeah. No, they have no identity. Like, they want to hold teams to less than 3 goals. And then their best defenseman can't make simple fundamental plays every other defenseman can make on his own end of the ice. But that game Tuesday, seriously, on like a funny note, like, I really don't know what I watched for an hour. Like, this was the most nothing hockey game I've ever seen. And like tonight, they lose 5-3. They actually came out and they looked pretty good the first few minutes. They got the goal. Horvat scored on the power play. They scored their first power play goal since Juan Soto was a free agent. I think that's my favorite reference.
Shout out Greeny.
Yeah.
Shout out to Greeny for that one. I thought we were looking pretty good in the first. And suddenly in the second period, like, they just stopped playing. Like, it looked like one coach, Tortorella, had his guys ready to play in the second period. They were very amped up after Siplikov hit. It was Ryan Poehling up high. We could debate the call another time. Like, I thought it was a dirty hit. It's just really not that important. Either way, it was a big hit that caused just like a ton of emotion in the game. And I've been watching hockey for 20 years now. When those types of plays happen, an injury causes a player to leave a game, the other team is going to fight the guy that caused the injury. And the guy who injures the player, it is his job to answer the bell and drop the gloves. Now, you do this for two reasons. You do it out of respect, and you do it so you don't have a target on your back for the rest of the game, for them to make dirty hits on you, for them to get you when you're not looking. And now we didn't do that. And the Flyers eventually settled down and started playing hockey instead of just trying to fight us every 5 minutes. And that didn't work out too well. So the Islanders actually go to Philadelphia in 2 weeks. I would expect there to be revenge on Siplikov at some point. That's just the way it goes. And in that second period, it was just such a disaster. Like, I mean, the effort given by Noah Dobson on the shorthanded goal the Flyers scored was just such an utter disgrace. I'm so tired of watching that. And as an Islander fan, I've watched so many bad players over the years. Like, Brian Strait comes to mind, fucking Andrew McDonald. Like, I'm serious. I was more excited when I was in seventh grade to go watch that guy play than I am to watch Noah Dobson. Like, the fact that the next 8 years might consist of Noah Dobson and Ilya Sorokin taking up $16 million of the Islanders' salary cap is just such a sickening proposition. Say what you want about Sorokin. None of the goals were his fault tonight, except for one. The issue is that one goal was a complete lack of focus, and it was the game-winning goal. Like, you're getting paid $8 million. Get your fucking head in the game, dude. So that is how I feel.
Well, just to your point on Dobson, it's that much more frustrating after the play the previous game in overtime where everyone's calling you out because you're literally just standing there literally afraid to touch Brady Tkachuk. He was afraid. Let's call it what it was. He was afraid to go after Brady Tkachuk in the corner. Didn't win the puck. They score the empty netter. Oh, granted, God, they probably don't come back and tie. That. But that visual is just so bad for Dobson.
Oh, it's awful.
You would think after that being out there for, what has it been, 48 hours since that game, he would have came out flying tonight. And it's just more of the same shit.
It's not his style.
It's not his style, but it there's just like, I don't know.
No, I'm sorry.
It's so lethargic to me. It's just.
It's not just lethargic, Rocco. This team lacks balls. This team has zero balls.
No dogs.
Zero. The X dog is in the negatives. It's like it's really pathetic. It truly is.
It is.
You know, Jack spoke a little bit about the Senators game. I mean, they got caved in probably five or six times in their own end for 2 or 3 minutes where it was just Ottawa cycling the puck, getting shots on net, cycling the puck, getting shots on net over and over and over. And the same thing tonight. You know, I'll disagree with Jack a little bit and his boomer take about Siplikov not fighting and respecting the game of hockey. But like, I thought Siplikov played it perfectly. Like, you lay a big hit and then try to draw the
clean
penalty.
Clean hit, too, in my opinion.
Agree.
Yeah, draw argue a penalty. With Jack. That's
agreed.
Fine.
Yeah, try to draw the penalty because I think they were already on the power play at that point. So they would have had a 5-on-3 had Siplikov drawn the penalty after the whistle with the guy slashing him. And then he still drew the penalty in one of his next shifts. He drew a slashing penalty. So, listen, he did his job. But at the same time, there was absolutely zero fire from the team. It's like they let in that first goal for the Flyers, and after that, there was just zero energy. No one stepped up. No one was flying around the ice. No one was laying a big hit. They were turning the puck over, and they were getting physically dominated. And that's like sort of the theme, and I've said it a million times. It feels like the battery has run out on this core, and it's been that way for at least a year and a half now. And it's not just the usual suspects that we talk about with Nelson and Palmieri, who are getting up there in age. And when I say this, like, I say it metaphorically, but I also sort of mean it literally. Like, I think that for a majority of teams, and we're seeing this happen with the Rangers right now, and we've seen it happen twice with the Rangers over the last decade, the core runs its course. It gets stale. Players just run out of juice. Like, all these long playoff runs take their toll on these guys, mentally and physically. And there's no advanced stat to measure it. You know, you can debate it with the eye test. I just think that it's a fact. There are some like all-stars and some core groups that we've seen over the years that go on miraculous runs. The Islanders did it in the 80s. We've seen the Blackhawks do it. We've seen the Penguins do it. We saw the Lightning do it, right? Those are very special and unique cores. We've seen cores collapse that just haven't gone the distance. We've seen it with the Islanders now. We've seen it with the Rangers. We have come close many times to seeing it with the Bruins. But these guys, like they hit a certain age, and people totally underestimate how grueling these long playoff series are, and doing it year after year after year, it takes its toll. And sometimes it gets stale. Sometimes you lose your passion for the game. You lose the physicality. You lose a step. It happens. And it's just, you look at this Islanders team, and it really is pathetic a lot of the times what they're doing out there.
And you know what it is too, with what you said in regards to the core, the core's, you know, falling off. I think it's aided by two things. You either have a superstar or two that aid that, like a Capitals with OV and Backstrom and whomever else, a Penguins Oshie. With Crosby and Malkin, or an influx of youth that, okay, this guy regresses, but this guy pops up, and now
we're seeing right that with Dallas, I think.
Right. You see that with Dallas, where Sagan and Benn are kind of getting old, and then they pull Stankoven from nowhere. They have Heiskanen. They have a really good goalie. You know, it has to be one of those two things. And we know the Isles stars aren't really at that top tier level. The Horvats, the Barzells, you cannot compare them to the McDavids, the Drysdales, whomever else. And clearly there's no influx of youth because they haven't had too many picks.
They don't have a Robertson. They don't have a Stankoven. No, they don't have a Heiskanen. They have maybe, an Isaiah George, and they have a William Dufour, and they've got a Matthew Maggio.
That's why it falls off. And that's why the Rangers are falling off as well, because you sacrifice your picks to go all in. And I'm not saying it's wrong to go all in, because you should when you have the window.
Who's their Dufour? I always forget his name.
Who's Dufour?
The Rangers Dufour. They got this guy who's like a guy they've obsessed with for years, who like puts up
Othman.
Points. Othman. He's their Dufour.
Yeah, but they're kind of going through the same thing where, you know, you just don't have guys coming up because you lose the picks. And like we said, you understand why you trade the picks, but your window's not going to be open as long. You don't have a McDavid. You don't have a Crosby. So it's one of these things where you just have to pull the plug. And I mean, I think all three of us agree it's pretty much time.
Yeah, I was the only one that was like still hesitant, because I wanted to let the season play out, and I wanted to have my my delusion keep me in it. Because
it was like, a little selfish of you.
Yeah, it was selfish of me. But I look forward to this time of year always, and like hoping that they can get back to the playoffs and everything. But yeah, when Patrick Roy took over last year, like he had some great quotes just saying like how he wanted to make the fans proud to be Islander fans.
I was actually thinking about that as I left early in the third period tonight.
Yeah, and it's just like we have guys, it's the end of the game and we have an empty net, and like Nelson and Dobson. I really saw it mostly with Nelson. Like, yeah, I don't
you
think
got a
I
primary
feel
assist
like,
tonight at least.
I don't feel like goal, blocking right? this I don't feel like blocking this slap shot. Like, we'll just get him in the next one, boys. It's like, wow. And then tonight, like, Dobson just, like, not doing – Dobson was literally a traffic cone on that two-on-one, and Sorokin not paying attention late in the game. And it's just, like, also them just getting beat up all night by this Flyers team that's younger than them. It's like, wow. I've never – I don't like one thing about this team. Like, I've never been more embarrassed, actually, because we're not bad and young. Like, we're not bad and fun. We are like old, boring, and bad.
Like, yeah, bad and boring. It's the worst combination.
It's just awful. But I actually have a question for you guys. You mentioned like the Penguins, you mentioned the Capitals. Like, I look at those teams like so much different. Like, even the Penguins right now, like, yeah, we can make fun of them because we made the playoffs and they didn't the last 2 years. Like, last year we could. And then, like, also the Capitals had struggled for the last few years too. And the difference is like, the Penguins might have held on to, like, you know, guys like Letang, guys like Malkin, Gensel. They might have tried to get – they tried to invest more in that core. And, like, the Capitals held on to Oshie, Backstrom, when they were really aging with Ovechkin. Like, those teams going through those struggles, besides the Capitals this year, like, I feel that a lot more in terms of, like, that's worth it, because those guys delivered Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
Like, don't you guys
think they earned that? They earned the downfall.
we've treated our guys like those guys when like they are not those guys.
It's the country club. Yeah,
I agree.
No, but like the Capitals and Penguins have had their own country clubs over the last few years. Not the Capitals this year, but I promise you the last few they have, like they deserved their country clubs.
The difference is that country club, they wear green jackets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's just crazy too. I can't get over how Anders Lee has 20 goals. Like going into the season.
If you would have told us that, I would think they're a playoff team.
Dude, I thought they should do it. I thought they should pay to trade him. I'm not even going to hide from it. Like this is
we all did.
We were talking about buyouts.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad take. By the way, Jack, I think you're like fiddling with something near your mic. I feel like I'm getting like a little bit of static or something.
Yeah. But,
yeah, it's probably your headphones.
Quickly, the one thing I was going to say too,
your mic.
The last couple years with the Islanders too, they had like this big event that gave them some juice, right? Like 2 years ago, they trade for Horvat. Last year, they get rid of Lambert and hire Wall. Like, there's nothing coming like that this year.
Right.
There's nothing coming like that. There's nothing, and they don't deserve that. They really don't.
Well, the big event is the opposite. It's going to be the trade deadline.
Right, but that's exactly the point. They deserve the plug to be pulled, not the...
I'm sorry, but like Jack brings up Anders Lee. There has just been far too little trade talk about Anders Lee for my liking.
I don't think he's getting moved. Dude,
you make him available... I mean, he's got a 15 team, right? It's not even a full no trade.
I think it's 15.
So there you go. You make him available and you eat half. Oh my God, the return that they'd get.
You'd get, I'm not kidding. If you eat half of Lee, I think a first plus, I think.
First plus. Yeah. I think first plus. I think
he's more than Nelson.
I think you get more than Nelson 100% if you're eating money.
Because he's a leader, a captain.
Paul Mary's trade value has totally fallen off a cliff.
And you know what? Paul Mary's lucky that Nelson's been so bad because we kind of forget about him.
100%.
No, I've really been starting to notice it more and more. And tonight, like he was on the boards and like we were trying to generate some offense. And like he just passed the puck to literally a fucking to a Flyers defenseman. And early in the year, I feel like he would do something with that. Like he'd drive to the net, he'd even take a shot. I don't know what happened to him. But it pisses me off that he gets the same minutes. He's in his spot. And like we have a guy like Pierre Engvall who literally we don't even watch him play anymore. Yeah. Well, none of us think he's that good or anything, but it's about like holding guys accountable. Like you hold Engvall accountable, but you don't hold Palmieri accountable. You don't hold Nelson or Dobson accountable. That bothers me.
But how would you hold them accountable? Scratch them?
No, I would just cut their minutes a little bit. Like give Engvall a chance. I mean, he hasn't gotten one forever. He comes on with his turtleneck for plays for like 3 minutes.
who used to wear the turtleneck?
Yashin.
No, Yashin. But who is the guy on Montreal? Like Plekanec?
Oh yeah, Thomas Plekanec. Yeah.
Yeah, he used to have the turtleneck too. Remember that was like, I think Marchand made fun of him for that.
Well, he had aura with that thing.
Yeah, it worked for him. And it worked for Yashin too, honestly.
It did. It did.
You can't be like an American guy like wait, with that going on.
Oh, wait. You guys want to hear the most funny Yashin story? Hold on. So, real quick, sorry, Jack, not to cut you off. So I was going through I might have told you guys this. I was going through like a bunch of my dad's memorabilia, and one of the things my mom found was a ticket stub from it was Islanders versus Sabres, October 29th, 2005. Random game, zero meaning, and it's an autographed ticket stub. And I was looking at it, and it was signed. And it said, Larry, with love, and then just like a signature. I'm just like, that's weird. Like, one, who would sign... with love.
Yeah.
like that's bizarre. So I took it to our good friend Joe Bono, who's been doing Joe's autograph services on Twitter and helping people identify random memorabilia signatures. And he came to the conclusion, this is like the craziest pull of all time. The signature was Carol Alt, who is currently married to a former Ranger, but at the time was dating Alexei Yashin. and was a model and actress. And
which
here
Ranger?
You see, I don't know. You could Google it. Carol Alt. And this is a picture of Yashin and her. And I guess my dad must have fucking ran into her at the game and knew who she was. And she signed his ticket stub. Anyway, that's the random Yashin.
That's hysterical.
Pull for this
that
episode.
That is a crazy. That's a crazy find.
Anyway, Jack, what were you going to say?
I was going to ask you just the dumbest question, but
was
Yashin wearing the turtleneck for the alumni game?
Oh, it's a good question. I don't know. I wasn't really watching that closely.
We'll have to
I can't watch
up.
The current team, so I wasn't really watching the alumni game, to be honest.
Okay.
Everyone was ready to give Clutterbuck a contract after the alumni game. Insanity. Do we have any positive outside of Lee?
No.
I think Sipelkov's a positive.
I mean, we're talking full season positives?
Just so far, like this season so far. I think Sipelkov's a player.
Yeah.
George, you could say George. George looks like – I want to also –
I'll say if Simon comes back and he's, like, not crippled, unlike everyone else who's come back from injury, he keeps playing. Nice bottom, nice cheap bottom sixer.
Yeah, nice. I've always said, you know
– I've never been a fan.
But if he's just a solid third-line guy, that's okay. I think every time someone's a first-round pick, everyone thinks they need to be a first-line player, 80 points, whatever, like – if you're a late first round pick and you just turn into a solid NHL guy, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
And they desperately need it. So,
yeah.
Duclair has to be playing at 50%, by the way.
Duclair's hurt.
He has no burst. For five games this year. And in those first few weeks of the season, this guy was flying. Like, it's painful.
Bro, his game is predicated on speed and he has a torn groin. Like, he's not going to be 100% for the rest of the year.
I wonder if it's one of those things. Yeah. If they truly fall out of it, do they just shut him down and let a kid get a shot? They might as well.
Shut him down.
I mean, they're not going to anytime soon, but come the deadline.
At least we don't have to worry about Duclair DeVitoing the tank.
That's true.
That's my favorite term now, by the way.
DeVitoing. Hogberg DeVitoing the tank.
Hogvito.
That's too good. Oh, Hogberg's a positive. Yeah, he looks insane, by the way.
Insane. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. He looks tough.
It's getting tough. It's getting tough for Rocco and Greeny, man. It's going to be the second year in a row that Sorokin's not the best performing goalie.
It's tough for us. You're literally rooting against your own franchise goalie.
I'm not rooting against him. I'm just not happy that he's locked up for 8 years.
But Jack, when you watch the game, yes, the one goal was on him tonight. But when you watch the game, the goals the Flyers were scoring tonight were ridiculous.
No, I'm not going there. Yeah,
tic-tac-toe back of the net. Like, what is he supposed to do?
I'm not going there, but I do think overall, he's just way overrated by our fan base and not even in general anymore. Like, the rest of the NHL is catching up.
I have a good question for you. And you can't say Shesterkin because he's not having the best year numbers-wise.
Yeah.
So no Shesterkin here. What goalie in Sorokin's situation would be performing miles better than him right now?
Maybe if you got God on some pads, there's no one that could fucking, there's nobody that can fix this mess right now.
Right. I mean, I thought maybe you were going to say Hellebuck and I would have respected that, but
no. No. I'm not going there.
I didn't think you were going G-D.
Yeah, no, there's nothing that there's, two things could be true. I don't think Sorokin's as good as advertised, but I also don't think he's at fault at this point for this season. Like, no shot in hell, I think that.
You could point the blame at a lot of people for this season. You know who I will say has looked better as of late, in my opinion? Barzal.
Yeah.
The legs are starting to come back. He's flying around a little bit, but it's just
he even admitted that he wasn't 100%.
Yes.
Or that he was foolish to think that he could come back and be 100%.
Right.
Horvat looks good, too.
Horvat looks good. He had a little dry spell, but he looks good.
Always working, though.
That's what I mean. He doesn't need to be scoring.
Let me ask you guys this. In the beginning of the game tonight, I was just thinking, I saw Pollock, cut to the half boards and, try to make a nice pass in front of the net. It got intercepted. And I was just, thinking – I feel like the NHL perception of this guy is still very high, very good.
Of who?
Pollock.
I feel like he's known as a really solid defender. Like he gets paid what, $6 million a year. Like, do you guys think that there's like, what do you guys think like a return would look like on him if somehow he was
not
traded?
A clue, dude. I mean, that's gotta
so
be
hard to project.
That's a July trade.
Yeah.
By the
Perhaps
way,
maybe we go ahead, Ethan.
Quick trivia here. The Islanders have the second fewest points in the entire Eastern Conference. Who has the fewest?
Sabres.
Yeah.
Buddy, you act like I'm not on Tankathon every day.
Oh.
But maybe.
Dude, the West is so bad.
Well, they have really bad teams. They have.
It's just very top heavy. It's not bad. It's just very top heavy.
No, but the bottom of the West is worse than the bottom of the East, too. Because it's like
so much worse.
Sharks, Chicago, and Nashville is the surprise, like, trash team this season.
Yeah.
Did they? I don't know if they won tonight or not, but.
They have 37 points.
Yeah, like, if you don't have 40 points yet, oof.
One of my favorite parts of like this last decade of the Islanders being just like really competitive every year is like never like when I was growing up, all I would look at are the prospects and like the draft. And I've really enjoyed not having to do that for a long time. So I don't know what the deal, I don't know stuff about these prospects. Like, is this Hagen's kid? Like, is he just from Long Island and everyone's hyping him up, or is he supposed to be something? And like, what is something? Like,
he's
give
nasty.
Give me some kind of comp.
Okay. So, not gonna lie, been on YouTube lately, checking out some of the prospects because you can't expect to go number one. So I'm like, all right, maybe we'll be top five. I've been looking at Schaefer, I've been looking at Martone, a little bit of Misa. The two guys I feel like I have a little bit more of a gauge on are Hagens, obviously, and Schaefer. I'm not saying he's going to be this good, but I see a lot of Jack Hughes in Hagens' game.
That's who you'd come
shifty,
to.
Smart, good skater.
He's not that big.
And makes the right plays. Isn't that big. Neither is Jack Hughes. And you know, it's that style. And nice hair.
He who shall not be named, when he was drafted to the Islanders in 2009, mm-hmm. like that was like when he was drafted, like
Hagens, I don't think would be rated that highly if that's what you're gonna ask.
That was what I was gonna say. Like, is this guy gonna save the franchise? Like that.
But listen, he's not gonna be ranked as high because I think JT, people forget how highly ranked he was when he was coming out. Like, he broke a Gretzky record, he had all these accolades. And I think the real reason
he had broken the all-time OHL scoring record.
Yeah, and he had the early what is it called? Like, I forget the name for it. I think they have a specific, like, it's like a special allowance for a younger player to play in the OHL. He was like one of the youngest players in the OHL ever.
I'm like looking at his draft comps for that year, and they were
JT.
JT, and they were Danny Heatley, Brett Hull, and Mike Bossy.
It's kind of, well, shit. You know, I was just gonna say, you know what held him back a little bit as far as his. Now, he's an extremely good, consistent player, but what held him back from being like that next level was the skating.
Yeah, and he's never an elite skater.
And the league began to change at that time, too, where it's like you suddenly needed to be an elite skater, and he never really had that.
Correct.
And that's something I see with the current Islanders. I feel like a lot of their players are these guys from yesteryear where it's like, oh, be big, be tough, and shoot the puck hard. And now you need these guys that can move. And it's frustrating watching our defense because you have no one – that's overly dynamic. No one that could quarterback the power play. And that's where a guy like Schaefer even could come into play. The guy that's some people think is better than Hagens and could go number one. Super shifty, pretty good size. He's got that like Quinn Hughes, not as good as McCarr, but like that Quinn Hughes, Werenski type vibe to him. Really good offense, really good skater. So there's going to be a couple guys. Like, it doesn't – obviously, we want to be number one. It's the Long Island kid, whatever. But there's a few guys that are there. I forget the exact cutoff it is, but I remember reading it's like 6-7 is where you want to be this draft because then it falls off.
Got it.
I'm going to start doing my research.
Yeah.
I guess I will have to also. But other than that, should we get into the questions?
Let's
or should
do
I read them off?
Do them quick. Pick your top three.
All right, I'll read them off. Hold on. Usually Greeny does this. Gotta find it.
You got it or you want me to get it?
I got it.
All right.
Okay. We'll be, yep. All right. I got some questions. Let me read. First question from Legacy Sports. Hey guys, when does the suffering end? Might be a while, buddy.
I told you to pick the good questions.
I'm sorry, but some of these are too good. When will Noah Dobson be shipped to the ECHL? Okay, guys, everyone's suffering.
You could hear our suffering.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is a good one. Mr. 305.
Our guy.
Our guy, friend of the program. Who are each of your quote-unquote untouchables as far as trades go, if any?
I don't know if anyone's untouchable for me anymore. I really, and it's crazy to say. You know, I love Barzell, I love Horvat, I love Sorokin, whom, you know, a couple other guys, whatever. I just, and I'm not saying you have to trade everyone. I think you're at the point now with this franchise, because as we said, you don't have that like top notch player. Simply listening on anyone who calls, I think is okay.
There's one player I really don't want to trade just because he's young and he's clearly been good. I don't look at him as untouchable, but I would like to keep Siplikov. And the only untouchable for me is actually, it's the Yzerman prospect. I mean, God, we need that kid. And well, George.
Talking current roster more so.
That's insane.
To look at Yzerman as untouchable.
And that's insane.
We need youth.
Okay, but untouchable in what scenario? Untouchable means under no circumstances am I trading him. Like, you wouldn't move him in a fucking Pettersson trade.
You'd have to.
There's nobody on this team that's untouchable then. Truly.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the question.
You listen on everybody.
You listen on literally everyone.
I want to say someone so bad, but I can't.
Well, Josh Bailey's retired.
That's true. He would definitely be untouchable. It sucks because
Josh Bailey. Don't be a pussy.
Josh Bailey ain't walking through that door. This team is fucked.
Say the name you're going to say.
It's what name?
You just said, I want to say someone so bad.
Oh, no. Like, I just want to say anyone so bad. Like, I
You wish you had someone to say.
Yeah, like, I wish. Gotcha. I fucking wish there was someone that was untouchable.
I thought you had someone on the tip of your tongue you were, like, a little embarrassed about.
I thought about saying Barzell, like, three times, but I just couldn't get it out. Like, I can't say it.
Listen, like, realistically, I'm not moving Barzell unless it's, like, a deal for a better player.
Yes.
Like, unless it's, like, again, it would be tough to move. Like, if it's a Pettersson or... You know, Kyle Connor, like that's where I'm talking like a Kachuk type
trade.
Thinking about it, right? But which is probably not going to happen, right? But it's just you can listen on everyone, and I think we discussed through text the Kiprios article, which was interesting because he mentioned.
That's the next question.
Okay, so ask the question, and then we could go at it.
This is from Coach Jeff. Shout out, Coach Jeff, one of my favorites on Twitter. This week, for the first time, we are hearing some insiders suggest this could be Lou's last year. Not sure if there's any truth to it, but just hearing those words gives me hope. If Lou does some selling at the deadline, is this a sign Voldemort's reign of immortality may be over? And this is why Jeff is one of my favorites.
That's a great tweet.
So we all read the article from Kiprios?
Yeah, I think there's no way he knows that.
I want to preface, sorry to cut you off, Ethan, but I want to preface this by saying too, I'm not saying he doesn't have sources, but there's been like a number of times he's been very wrong.
I'm sorry. His logic also made absolutely no sense. Like the sentence in the article was maybe the dumbest thing I've ever read in my fucking life. It was basically saying that if this is Lou's last year, might there be pressure for him to get assets back? No, you dumb fuck. It would be more pressure for him to go all in if he's going to get fired at the end of the year. Under what circumstances anyone on the hot seat who's about to lose their job say, you know what? I'm going to think towards the future. Under no circumstances does that logic make sense, Kiprios, you dumbass.
Didn't he word it something to do with ownership? Like ownership's going to pressure him to...
Right.
Ownership's did he say something like that?
Ownership's not going to pressure Lou to do shit.
Ownership doesn't give a fuck.
Ownership has never pressured Lou to do anything.
But the only thing
life.
I will say from a business perspective in regards to ownership and Lou, if it gets real bad,
then he's not making the decisions.
Saying it's possible they just approach him and say, hey, you're a figurehead for now. We're selling.
I think
out
Lou
of respect
quits
for
then.
You, we're not going to quote-unquote fire you will quote-unquote retire at the end of the year.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? I could see that.
I think Lou Lou owns them. He's going to make them fire him if that's the case.
I don't know. There's all this stuff coming out now. It's this year just seems a little different to me. And obviously, it doesn't help that they're not good, but it just feels a little different. You know, they have these guys they should sell. You can't really justify buying unless it's for in some way you get Pettersson for like a Dobson type deal. It's this year feels different. And, you know, he did bring up some names and he brought up the usual suspects with Brock and Palms. But even him bringing up Mayfield, I thought was pretty interesting because that's the sort of thing I'm curious if they do. Because if they go seller mode, the automatics are Brock and Palms. But if you go seller mode, shouldn't you also be looking to move some other guys that are on the wrong side of 30, some other guys that are good for a win now team?
I want to mention one thing on Mayfield. This is, I think, our 11th episode, and not once we've ripped a lot of players on this show, and not one time have we laid into Scott Mayfield. I think it's because we all have like somewhat of a respect for him from the playoff runs, and we know he's a third pair defenseman. But just one thing I wanted to mention, I was listening to the Edmonton Oilers radio broadcast when the Islanders played them, and their announcers were talking about Mayfield on their telecast, just talking about like how good of a third pairing defenseman he is and how many teams just love to have him. So sometimes as a fan base, like you might not have the same perception of a player that out of market teams have. So I do think that like there could be legit interest in Mayfield there. And I'd be really interested to see what a team would give up to get him. So Trouba, I don't remember what Trouba went for, but it was a bigger payment than you saw. I promise you, Scott, you would see a bigger return.
For sure. He's like a quarter of the salary.
And just like a way better player at this point.
Yeah, Trouba's kind of done. And it's...
You know what? I haven't watched him at all on the Ducks, so I don't want to rip him too hard. And it's kind of hard to perform when the general manager is floating your name around like candy, so...
Yeah, but with Scotty, I think it makes so much sense too because, you know, best case scenario, this team is good again. Like, I know everyone loves to throw out the Capitals thing, but the odds of that are much lower than people realize. Like, if you go the Capitals route, it doesn't mean you get a PLD and he bounces back. It doesn't mean, you know, you steal Chychrun out of Ottawa. You know, they made a lot of shrewd moves that worked out. It doesn't always work out that way, but by the time this team hopefully is ready to compete, Scotty's probably, what, 2-3 years older?
Yeah.
So why not afford another team the opportunity to take the end of his prime years?
Yeah, you trade
him. On a team that's trying to make a run.
Yeah, you trade him. It's just unfortunate we're in a spot where his services are just not the most useful. Could be more useful for someone else. But I'm actually going to do two more questions because one of them is a quick one, and the other one I find interesting. So this one is from MJ Beckman. He asked simply, how many points do the Islanders have to be out by the Four Nations for Lou to be like, okay, like we got to sell here? What do you think the number is? I'm going to say 12.
Around there, double digits, 10, 12.
Yeah.
Double digits just seem so much further than it being like 6, 7. When you drop to 10, 12, it just seems that much further away. And I think the thing people forget, because I see everyone on Twitter saying, yeah, oh, they're only 5 points out. They're only 7 points out. But look at the amount of teams in between that are going to overtime every other night or winning their own games. Like when you have a lot of teams in between, it's that much harder. It's not like they're behind two teams. They're behind the whole conference.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the last question is from Joe Mama. It says, why does this roster not give a fuck? And not because it's a country club. There's got to be something else going on. So the player is not diving to block shots. The player is being so soft in the corner, being unfocused at times. I've actually thought of that also. Like, it's almost like they're asking the general manager to sell and sending. It almost feels like it's probably not reality, but it feels like a message is almost being sent like, we're done. And it's like the weirdest thing recently where they're not. They just don't look like they have the same juice. And I see where Joe Mom is coming from with this question. Like, I really do. Like, maybe they're done with the power play coach. Maybe they don't like playing for Wah. Maybe they're tired of keeping the clean shave. Like, I really don't know, but I do think it's an interesting question.
I mean, you watch certain guys play. I'm sorry, but when you watch Brock Nelson now, that looks like a guy that wants to go to a contender. Right or wrong?
What does Palmieri look like then?
Like he's done.
Someone that wants lasagna or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Any thoughts there, Ethan?
No.
And I have one question, but it's a quick one. So the Islanders are sending Brent Sutter or inducting Brent Sutter into their Hall of Fame Saturday. You might go. And my question for you, TBD. There hasn't been a ceremony like this in a while. So are Lou and the owners going to be at center ice for that? Or are they going to be in the press box? Because I'm just curious, like, can you imagine?
Probably the box.
Can you imagine if they come down to the ice for that ceremony? I feel like there might be some big time booing there, and that might be the first time the owner's in attendance in a while, and he might pick up things that he hasn't been paying attention to. I just think that could be an interesting scene.
No, I don't think they'll be booing because it's going to be all those Stanley Cup guys down there with him, right? Like it's going to be all those members from those teams. And, you know, it's funny because I'm sitting on the couch before during the intermission with my wife, and they're showing clips from Sutter and talking about how the Isles went on a 15-game win streak and how good those teams were, yada, yada. And I'm just saying, my favorite team in the world, could you imagine they were one of the best dynasty ever, best dynasties ever, and it was before we were all born. So we never got to see it. And we've seen pretty much crap since. So I don't see any booing coming because I think all the people that were alive to see that appreciate it so much because of what's happened in the last 30 plus years since. So I don't see too much booing going on. And I might be wrong, but I feel like they have a Brendan Burke sort of figure down there announcing it. And then it's just mostly players and like the owners, and those guys are in the owner's suites usually.
Yeah. It'll be civilized. Yeah,
I didn't quite think about the part where, like, you know, like the whole team is there and everything.
Right. So if you're booing Lou, you're kind of booing like Brian Trottier at the same time.
Islander fans will not take that route. So that was not the smartest for me.
No, it's all I know what you were thinking there.
Yeah.
All right, boys. All right. Are we done?
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep. He can't hang around.
Io's house
in the middle of our street.
Io's house.